Hey, welcome to the Purposely Derailed podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Marrero Wilson, licensed social worker and author. Here we ride the track with all things mental health and get purposely derailed on the ways Christ is showing up in our lives. So if you think you've got it all together or crying out for grace, tune in with someone who's right there with you and let's get through it together. This is Purposely Derailed. All right, everybody, welcome back to episode 2 of the Purposely Derailed podcast. I am your host, Stephanie, and I have a guest today. Do you want to say hi?
Hello.
I have my daughter, Evelyn, is joining our podcast episode today to talk a little bit about what we talked about last week with the injury and control. Before that, I do want to give a little bit of a kind of what you can expect in this episode and kind of the title of this episode, right? So, control, the uninvited trauma response. So, in last week's episode, I shared a little bit about embracing disruption and when things don't go our way and how we had planned a trip to Maine. And Evelyn ended up having a hairline fracture the same week, and it kind of just changed the way that everything was going to look, and that I had to basically ask God to help me with my patience a little bit because it was being tested and I had to learn to embrace disruption. So be sure to check out that episode to hear more about how it went from my perspective. But I wanted to bring Evelyn on today and just give her the opportunity to talk a little bit, right, from her perspective. And so the big question today, just in general, and that I want everybody to kind of think about and I'll speak to as well, is do you find it triggering when something you expected doesn't happen in the way that you can control, right? And so I know for me, that's a heck yes. I talked about that last week a little bit, but I wanted to give Evelyn the opportunity to kind of dive in and tell us from her perspective. So, hi, baby.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
How you feeling being on here with me?
Good.
Yeah? You nervous?
No.
Okay. So if you hear any stumbling and rumbling, she does have a massive boot. So, you know, if she gets uncomfortable, she'll move around. You'll hear that. And like I said, these episodes are unedited because I just don't got the time and I'm still learning on that patience. So, Munchkin, I have a couple of questions for you, right?
Okay.
And so last week, like I said, I shared a little bit about how this injury kind of shifted our trip and from my perspective. So can you tell me what was going through your head when you learned that you were going to spend your first trip ever away in a cast? So what was that like for you?
It was like, whoa, are we canceling this trip now?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like kind of strange because we were kind of in a rush because it did not look good, so we were like out of here, and I got really nervous because I put a shoe on it and I didn't know if it was gonna like still be good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard for me to get it in the car because I like fell back because I didn't want to put pressure on it.
Mm.
So I like fell back and I like rolled onto my seat
when Daddy took you to the ER.
Yes.
Mm. Okay, so yeah, I didn't go on that trip to the ER. Yeah. I had to stay home because I still had some work to do. But Daddy took you. So you're saying that when you were nervous with having the shoe on and being there. So what was it like being at the ER?
We waited for a while because yep. They took us in and they like checked me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said we'll go into x-rays in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, you were there for a long time.
We went into x-rays after like 30 minutes, and then after x-rays they brought us back and we were waiting. My dad's friend kind of said
go ahead.
After that the doctor was like they do see something but they don't know what it is yet, so they took us in after that and they kind of just checked out my foot and asked a couple questions, but we were there for a while.
You were.
That's the hardest part. Because I was, like, in the wheelchair, and then I got really uncomfortable because mm-hmm. It was, like, right here. It was, like, against my thighs.
Yeah.
So I was getting really uncomfortable. So
it was, like, small?
Yeah, so I went to the regular chair next to Dad, And it was a long time.
It was. You were there for a long time. And then when you came home, you had your foot wrapped. And that was on a Monday.
It was.
And your appointment was not until Friday, the day that we were leaving. Yep. And I told everybody that I brought your shoe because I had faith that you weren't going to need a cast. And I mean, it was partially right. You didn't, you got a cast, but a cast that you could walk in.
Yeah, I got the walking cast, which was great because I was able to walk again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did get some weird pains with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You had, when we got it off, you had all those scratches. So, yeah. With all of that, and now here you are, we have a 5-hour drive to Maine, and you have this cast, this boot shoe thing on your foot, right? And so what was that like for you when you got there?
Long story short, uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable, yeah.
Because it was like, it was really tight on my foot, kind of. Mm-hmm. So anytime I tried to move, it was hard for me to like go to sleep on the car ride because I couldn't find like the way because it was so big.
Right.
So it was like so tight. Yeah,
we were trying. I was putting so many different things under her leg to see if we can keep her leg up, sitting here in the middle. It was a whole thing. And so it wasn't part of the plan, right? Nope. That was not part of the plan, but we were going with it. So what felt the most challenging for you that weekend?
I didn't get to have too much fun at Maine because I didn't get to like run as much as I wanted to. And I think the hardest part was I got a lot of discomfort in the night because I really missed our regular house because it was just like with the way I was the cast, it kind of was hard to sleep with because I couldn't move my foot. Like my foot was stuck like this.
Yeah.
So it was kind of
in the same position.
Yeah. So I couldn't like move it and it was kind of hard. But yeah.
So you said something. You said that it wasn't as fun because you weren't really able to run, right? And so it looked different. We had the wheelchair, and even still, one of the things that you had said that you were looking forward to the most was being out in that yard, right? And so you got a chance to be out in the yard, but it was different. And so what was it like, kind of adjusting to still being there, but in a different way?
It was okay, but the hardest part was I did want to run because it was like the grass was beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was like watching you be able to go to the rocks and just like go down far kind of made me sad because it was like I was stuck in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really go down and see your view.
I know.
So it was like, and then the tent was kind of like snug in the rug.
Yeah.
That's why I had, a little mood just because it was, like, uncomfortable for me because I wanted to try to, like, get out more and see. That's why I kind of was, like,
Yeah, and you weren't able to do it without the help of, like, me or your dad pushing you in the wheelchair. So,
like, it was like,
you weren't able to really be too independent.
Yeah.
I mean, that's important for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's the part that, you know, I started to realize it's not fair for me to think about, like, okay, this looks different, and I have to, you know, like I talked about, like, embrace that it looks different, when at the same time, the one that was physically affected by it was you, right? So that's where I had to change my mood and realize that, one, you've never been anywhere like this, so the whole bug situation, I had to be patient, and also I had to be very understanding that it really wasn't, it wasn't what you expected it to be.
Yeah. I think the worst part was just, like, I got random pains here and there.
Yeah.
And it was, like, anytime I tried to really have fun, it was kind of hard because it was, like, going up the stairs was harder. And it was, even though they were, like, narrow stairs, it would still be hard in general, but it was, like, harder for me.
Right.
Because, I don't know, it was just kind of hard. And then, like, I didn't really want to go back and forth up to the room, but that was, like, where all my activities were, and I didn't really like that you and Dad kept getting them when I wanted to do it. It's because I'm, like, one of the kids that wants to be really independent on their own.
Yeah.
So it's...
I wonder where you get it from.
It was, like,
so, like, fun. Having to ask for help felt like a trigger.
Yeah, because I didn't like it. I like being independent on my own.
Yeah.
But I was kind of more so, like, stuck on the couch watching TV. And it was like anytime I tried to do the activities, it was kind of hard because it was like I couldn't really focus because my ankle like was so stiff. I couldn't really focus on like what I was actually doing. So I kind of just was like in a little more mood because it was like I didn't like the way the trip kind of was going because it was like really fun. Just I didn't like that I wasn't able to walk and like do it on my own. Yeah, so it was kind of hard.
And it was the first time ever you've had a cast. So not only is it like, it would have been different if you would have had the cast at that point for like a week already and you were getting used to it. But this was like day one. You're not home. You know, you're very, so, you know, you're very used to being around grandma and being able to like just be there as like another comfort too. And so your environment is different. There's bugs. You can't walk by yourself. You know, you have to call on your mom and dad for everything. You can't get to the things that help you feel better. That's a lot.
That was one of the toughest things was it was like anytime we would leave the cabin.
Yeah.
It was kind of hard because it was like, I wasn't able to walk without holding yours or dad's hand. And I was ready to, like, walk off on my own. And I didn't like the stairs because it was, like, even though there was webs, I would have been able to go up and down those on my own.
Right.
That was, like, one of the hardest things is because I wanted to go down on my own because, like I said, I don't like to do things with people helping me. So it was hard because anytime I had to, like, use the bathroom, I needed help. And that was
for everything.
Hard,
well, also, and then that was outside of your control because their floor was painted.
Yeah.
Which made it way worse because around here, you were walking perfectly fine.
Yeah, it was like...
Yeah, that wasn't okay.
It wasn't.
So, now, can you tell me, you know, some of the things that start to happen in that you notice start happening in your body when you feel like something is happening outside of your control or you're uncomfortable or you're feeling like something is like just triggering you. What do you notice happens in your body?
Usually, like my bones kind of move.
So you start shaking?
Yeah, like this, like what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
I get a lot of anxiety more so. And it's like since I feel like I can't control it. So I usually start crying a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like anytime I try to breathe,
it's
like just more comes out. So that's like one of the hardest things for me in general is because it's not hard for me to like it's hard for me to control it. So that's one thing.
And so to kind of shift a little bit, there was a time not long ago, so Evelyn does virtual school. And so they have to take iReady tests, right? And there's like
diagnostics
and just to kind of gauge where they are.
And at the beginning of the year we did one and it was like high school to middle school math. And I struggled a lot with that because I wanted to get some of them right. And I started like bawling my eyes out and it was hard for me to control it at the time because I really was focused on trying to get them. And that kind of got me scared because the teacher was like, if you do zero, that's okay. This is just to see where you get.
Right.
Like, you could guess. Do whatever helps you. Get your counselors. Get a piece of paper and marker. Like, do what you can. But I didn't really want to because I wanted to, like, do this on my own without using anything else. And it was really hard for me.
And so I heard you crying. And so I went in, I wanted to talk to her. And so we were doing, so one of the things that we do, I try to get you to do is the breathing, right? We do that together. And you do a really good job with that. We'll blow bubbles. But in this moment, nothing that I was saying, nothing that I was doing was helping. It wasn't helping.
Because I tried to do the breathing before. And I was like, just more tears came out. And then it was like, I had, I think, a monkey. I had some fidgets in my little box. So I tried to grab one and it didn't help. I was like, I tried to do things like while you were walking to my room. I like tried so many things, but nothing
and
really
it wasn't helping.
Worked.
So you felt that you just had to cry, right? And so now I tell you, sometimes we just have to cry.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just gotta let it out, right? It's okay. And that's the part of our body that's like that warning sign that's telling us like, okay, you know, I'm feeling this thing. I need to kind of let this go because I feel pressure. I feel stress. And so your body was telling you like, Evelyn, mayday, mayday. Like there's stress buildup. You got to let it out before you try to, you know, give yourself some coping skills.
And I don't like to cry in front of people that yeah. I don't really know because it's like, I don't know. It's just kind of hard for me to do it. So I didn't want to, because the teacher doesn't let us turn off our cameras. Mm. So that was really hard for me to not turn off my camera and just go, beep. It was right. hard for me not to, because I didn't want to like disobey her rules.
Right.
So it was really hard at that time. That's why I was like trying to grab the fidgets and breathe in and yeah. breathe out to just like suck it all up. Mm-hmm. But nothing was working. So I was like, I don't want to turn off my camera. And that's why I started to cry louder and louder anytime I tried to, because it was like, I can't, mm-hmm. nope.
So you were feeling pressure from the test,
mm-hmm.
and you weren't in control of what was happening, like, emotionally, and you were also scared of getting in trouble because of, like, the rule of not being able to turn off the camera. So a lot of things, and then now, so you're on screen, you're crying. Kids can see you. Your teacher can see you. Go ahead.
And one of the worst parts was, like, you know, anytime you have a lot of stress, you feel like everyone's staring at you.
Yes.
That's what happened to me. Is like I felt like everyone was staring at you, but then I like blinked and I like did this, mm-hmm. like I like kind of cleaned my eyes and no one was staring at me. But then like anytime I started to cry more and more, everyone was like staring at me, mm. like with a bad look. And I was yeah. like,
just like they were concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, what do you do? Like, my friend is over there through a computer. I can't help them. So if you were in person, what do you think would have helped you in that moment?
I don't really know, because if breathing and fidgets didn't help me, I don't know what would.
Mm-hmm.
Because doing some different work would just put more pressure on me.
Right.
So... because I love writing. Mm-hmm. I tried to, like, do some writing on a, like, little notepad.
Yeah.
But it was, like, all my writing just came out, like, squiggles.
Yeah.
So I was, like...
still letting something out. So do you think that it, maybe being able to kind of walk away from it, did that feel like that would be an option?
No, because when I tried to, like, step away, it didn't help at all, because mm-hmm. it was still, like, all my dolls... like, they were real people and staring at me.
So you were kind of just, like, in panic mode.
Yeah.
In that moment. Okay. And so I want to share this with everybody, because so I was right there when this was happening. And so was my husband. You know, your dad was there. And it took a moment for me also to recognize that she is going through something that I cannot control. Right. I can't change what's happening. I can't make her feel better. She's tried all the things that her therapist mom has told her to try, and it's not working. So what did you end up doing later that night that did help?
So that night, I actually, well, it was like right after class, I did some homework. And then after that, I called my cousin, Sally.
Mm-hmm.
And she helped me a lot, because when she was little and she was in, like, this grade, she would put a lot of pressure on herself. And she gave me some really good advice. She was like, just don't worry about it. Like, you're a really fast learner. Like, you went through you went through kindergarten, first grade like this. Like, mm-hmm. you had all your work done before the other kids.
Yeah.
You did really good. So that helped me a lot after that. And also she was like, when you go through that, think about the good thoughts, like your birthday, mm. or think about your family or pets.
Mm-hmm.
Think about something like that. Like, that would help you, because it would get your mindset out of the badness.
Mm.
So that helped me a lot.
And what's a really big point that I want to make sure that we pay attention to is a lot of these things I've told Evelyn, a lot of these things we've talked about, but it had to come from somebody else in that moment, and I had to be okay with that. And so my little cousin Sally is her older cousin, and had a lot of similar, like, just kind of wanting to do her best and would put pressure, and she understood from a different perspective. She understood from firsthand, and just having a similar approach academically and being able to reach out to her and say, hey, I think Evelyn could really help, you know, benefit from talking to you and just kind of hearing how it was like for you. Even if it was, this, you know, a lot of the same things that I had said, that doesn't matter. It was about Evelyn needed a safe person that shared some similarities in this kind of situation. And in that moment, that couldn't be me. And that's hard for a lot of parents because I just want to help you. I just want to take it all away. But I had to, especially, you know, this is at the same time that you still have your foot injured, right? And yeah, and I needed to give her some room for empowerment and control, because in this moment, everything from what happened to her body, what was happening with school, everything was outside of her control. That if I just came in and said, no, you know, just take her away and coddle her in that moment, there wasn't going to be some kind of conflict resolution that she was going to be able to independently take on, right? And so how has it been for you in school since then?
It's been a lot easier. I think with the boot, it's kind of easier and harder. Now I'm able to walk like without it and kind of like limp still a little bit. But it's been a lot better. I think anytime I have like discomfort, I've been doing it downstairs with my grandma. Mm-hmm. So I usually do it on the ground.
Yeah.
Like with a mat.
Yep.
And I usually do it without my boot for the day to give my foot a break. And if I'm on a break, I usually just kind of don't put my boot on, because then I want to take it right back off after the bathroom.
Yeah. So, and at the same time, it's like a change in scenery. You're not in your room. You know, you're able to kind of sit differently. And so has all of these different things, the change of scenery, being able to talk to Sally a little bit more, because you talk to her almost daily now, right?
We talk a lot. Like the first question she asks is like, how is school today? Do you have any other problems that you want to talk about?
So you have that like lifeline, right? Yeah. And so how have you been feeling in regards to the school work?
It was really easier for me after Sully like talk with me.
Yeah.
Because if I got a hard question, I was just like, I'm gonna guess this one. I think this is the correct answer.
Yeah.
And I would just move on. I think the change of scenery was definitely the best because it was like, I love my desk. Mm-hmm. But the chair is kind of hard for me to move with this.
Yeah.
Because it's like I can't find my comfort and it's hard for me not to like kind of lay down.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't let us get up and like stretch unless we're on a movement break or break.
Right.
So it's kind of hard for me because I don't like to break rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the change of scenery has definitely been good because even if like we're still in front of the screen, we can move.
Yeah.
But it's harder with my desk because I can't really do much.
Right, exactly. It's limited. And so these are things that, you know, taking a minute and just kind of hearing from her perspective and recognizing that, you know, for kids, everything for the most part is outside of their control because they got parents that are, you know, their boss. So, when you know, giving them an opportunity to tell us what they need and allowing to kind of, you know, give them that room to advocate for themselves is going to be, it's going to build that skill, especially around communication. And we, you know, you'd get surprised that there's some just kind of basic things that can be implemented to help support with them feeling like their day or their life or their moment is outside of their control. And how can we empower them to have some control? Yeah.
I think one thing that did help is I actually got the guinea pig toy.
Yes.
So I would always have that on my desk.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually shared this in school. I would grab one of the guinea pigs, even if it's just the mom. I would grab that and I would either like pet it or I would kind of talk to it.
Yeah.
And just let out my feelings with that, because it's like I don't like to share it with people. Because it's like, I feel like I might get judged.
Mm.
So that's one thing that I definitely used.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the other part, because that's a really good point, is talking about your feelings is hard. I know that one thing that we've done is giving you space. Sometimes you're not ready to talk, and I'll say, okay, so, you know, go ahead, go to your room, take some time. You got to cry, do whatever you got to do. I'm going to check in with you in like 5 minutes, and, or, you know, just giving you to kind of help calm down the anxiety of mommy's going to come back and talk to you in this amount of time. And that usually does work, and you're able to then kind of open up a little bit more, but you got to be able to be in the right state of mind. And so that's going to be what we're talking about next. I'm going to wrap up here with you, Evelyn, and then I'm going to continue talking about how can we make conscious decisions if we're not in that, in that right mindset. All right. Thank you so much for joining me, Evelyn.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
All right. I just have to say, I am so incredibly proud of Evelyn being able to join me for that little interview. And I think that that was really important for me, because I know I shared my perspective on, you know, embracing disruption, but I wanted to give her the ability to kind of just give her insight, because at the end of the day, regardless of how I felt about everything, ultimately, it happened to her. So, and I also wanted her to speak a little bit about those involuntary physiological reactions that we have in those moments that we are feeling uncomfortable or triggered or something's happening outside of our control or anxious, because I think it gave a perfect, like, real, something that you can really see in regards to, like, I have this injury. And so this injury is causing me to, it's amplifying anxiety that I already had. And so you can see it more, right? Because there is this injury. But one of the things that we miss is we can't always see these warning signs. They're not always as obvious as a fractured foot. And that was the part that I wanted to talk about when it comes to, you know, feeling triggered when things are outside of our control. And what kind of a trauma response that really is when we think about it, right? So when we talk about noticing these warning signs, and I would do this all the time with clients when I was doing safety planning, and we would ask, you know, what are the warning signs when you're feeling upset? And so that's a loaded question, one, because, like, who knows that? Like, right, like, what are your warning signs? Do you have a label? Can I read it? No. No, I don't. But being able to give kids especially the room to kind of notice what their body is doing so they can connect these dots and then be able to notice it for themselves. So something like, I've had clients tell me that, you know, I get mad, I have my fist clenched, or, you know, I start pacing, or the one that she was talking about that she does that I do as well is, like, my legs start shaking, like, it's like I'm Thumper from Bambi. And so those are warning signs. That is your body telling you, hey, sums up, and I'm gonna need you to pay attention to me before I go haywire. And so the big picture here is, no matter how much you try to push through something, like Evelyn was talking about, still trying to do that work for iReady, no matter how much she pushed, she just physically couldn't do it. Her body wouldn't stop crying or shaking. The fidgets weren't working, because in that moment, she wasn't feeling safe or secure. And that is where, you know, the change of scenery, you know, her being able to do a couple days of remote school with my mom, and just kind of have a new refreshed space is going to help. It's going to help her feel better and kind of just more present, right? Grounded. And it's the same thing with us as adults. We think that because we are adults, we're supposed to have it all together. And let me tell you, we don't, and we're not gonna, and it's okay. Growing up was a lie. That's fine. But if we step back, like, and you know, going back to Maine and me realizing, like, wow, I am really living on frustration here because things are outside of my control. What is my body telling me? I felt tense. I didn't sleep that great. Also, Evelyn's boot the first night was a freaking weapon, and it was dangerous. And that also contributed to me not sleeping well. But that's neither here nor there. Being able to say, like, okay, I carry stress in my shoulders, and I carry stress, you know, just in my face. you know, like when we talk about RBF, right? A resting bitch face. And listen, that is plastered on my face. If you see me anywhere, and that's just my face. But I'll furrow my brows a little bit more when I have frustration. And like Evelyn, my stress will build up to like, I just need to cry. I just need to cry. That's the only way it's going to come out. I am not going to be a functional, well, I mean, I don't know how functional part of society I am now. But whatever, you get the point. So in order to be able to kind of just bring myself and Evelyn to be able to bring herself to that, like, I need to understand what's happening. We have to be able to take certain steps. And it starts, like I mentioned, with your body. You need to feel safe. You need to notice what's happening. And those deep breaths to be able to regulate your breathing, to slow down your heart rate, just taking notice, like your body is telling you like, yo, we're not good right now, fam. Like, what are you doing? Like, can I get some attention? Can you stop pretending that you feel fine? And like, we're about to pass out right here, right now, you know? And then that now that's a bigger risk because where are you? Who are you around? Do you feel safe? You know, are you going to be able to get somewhere safe? If you're not, are you alone? Are you a stranger? So being able to take that time to build up the skill of noticing your body and those warning signs and what's happening in your body and what that looks like. And that's something that can just happen with doing that head to toe body scan, right? And you start at the top of your head and you just kind of close your eyes and you scan down and you can pair that up with deep breaths, like those, the box breathing. So with box breathing, you are inhaling for a count of four, you hold it for a count of four, exhale, count of four, hold it, count of four. And you do that at minimum six to eight times. You want to do that at minimum to start kind of getting regulated. And it doesn't have to be a four count. It could be a five count, whatever. I start with a four count because I got asthma. And you want, my lungs ain't built that way. So I tend to put those two together with the body scan so I can just kind of notice if my body is holding tension anywhere specific. And I'll make sure to just kind of, I'm stretching it out, I am rotating my neck, or I'm massaging it, or I make it a point, or I make a commitment, like, dang, my back really hurts. My back hurts every day, y'all. I got a crooked spine, I got scoliosis, but regardless, if it hurts extra, I make a commitment that I'm gonna take a hot ass shower and just really kind of let that hot water hit. And maybe I'll ask my husband if, like, can you rub my back a little bit? I never really do that, but like, maybe sometimes, or he'll offer, because here's to noticing. And so just paying attention and making a commitment to show up for myself later because of this thing, right? So that's the body piece. And then we're talking about getting emotionally regulated. You, my friend, until you are able to get your emotions regulated and find understanding of like what your emotions are telling you in that moment, you're not going to be able to think straight. That's just, you know, so you have to feel safe. Your body has to be somewhere safe. You have to feel safe. You have to pay attention to it. What does it need? Do I need to walk away? Do I need like cold water on my face? What does my physical self need? Okay, now what does my emotion need? Am I, you know, again, paying attention to the breath rate and all that? Am I needing to, do I need to cry? Do I need to kind of just let this out? Am I angry? Am I sad? Am I anxious? Am I excited? So what is that need right now? Is it change of scenery? I need to go somewhere else. I need to go outside. I need to kind of just, you know, do some movement, anything like that. But it's paying attention to the emotion and not pretending like it's not there, right? So if you're experiencing social anxiety because you were at the Big E when there was 100,000 people there, that like, whoa, I would have collapsed. But anyway, having anxiety in those kinds of spaces, like, okay, where can I go that's like cornered, I can breathe, I don't feel overwhelmed. That happens to me at Walmart, y'all. Don't tell my husband to leave me alone at Walmart. You know, he has walked into a different aisle and I immediately, like, my knees weaken because I'm like, nope, the walls are closing in, the aisles are smaller, and I heard that they change the way that things look now, and I'm not going because that doesn't feel safe for me. That feels triggering for me. And you know, that's the other part, is knowing, you know, as the more you pay attention to your body and these physical reactions that you have and kind of these triggers, you're gonna know what kinds of spaces you're gonna need additional support in, or how to prepare for certain kinds of things beforehand. I do not go to Walmart by myself. That's not a joke. It took me a really long time to be able to go grocery shopping by myself, and now I do, and I actually enjoy it more. But Walmart, no. And so knowing these things, that doesn't mean that I'm weak, because that just means I know myself enough to know that if I go to Walmart by myself, somebody is going to need to call my husband or my mama, because they're going to find me in a fetal position somewhere, sucking on my thumb, confused and delirious because I'm just not well because there's too many people and it's like the air is thick. So, you know, you want to help yourself. And so the only way that you're going to be able to make coherent decisions in a moment, right, is if I'm in the middle of Walmart and I'm having a meltdown, I need to first recognize I don't feel safe. What's the first thing I need? I need to get the hell out of this store, right? So I beeline out, get to my car. If it's me, my anxiety, I'll have panic attacks. I scare myself because I'm asthmatic and I'm going to think I'm going to die. So it has to start with my breathing. So I'll put my hand on my chest. And like I said, I'll do that body scan and just deep breathe. And I'll validate my own emotion, because that is how I'm going to regulate the emotion. I don't think I'm crazy because I'm having anxiety. I don't think that people were looking at. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that in that moment, because first thing, I'm separating myself from there. And second thing is I'm validating. And so sometimes it helps to have allies. Well, not sometimes, always. It helps to have allies for people to say, like, okay, you're good. Like, that was a whole moment and we see it and you're good. It's not about telling your friend, calm down, get over it. I had my sister do that to me once. Did not go well. But she's come a long way, y'all. Love you, Jazz. But it's about just saying, like, yeah, no, that's valid. Makes sense. There's a lot of people in there. The air is thick. You're right. They did change shit. You're right. It's okay. Take whatever time you need, because that is validation. So now I'm not feeling outcasted for the panic attack I had in the middle of like the grocery aisle or whatever. And so only once I'm combining those things and giving myself that time can I sit there and really get in my right mind and be like, okay, all right, so that happened. And I need to kind of just give myself a minute. What's going to help me right now? For me, I'm going to probably play some worship music. For me, I am probably going to have to call my husband, or I'm probably going to drive home in silence with the windows down, because that's usually what I do. Or I'll be crying, and that's okay, because I am now in a space that I'm safe to process that however it needs to be processed, and I have validated what happened because I have taken the time to learn myself and know those warning signs, right? And so when Evelyn was talking about school, these are skills that she's still building. She's 7. So she's still building these things. So for her, it was hard to ask for help. I heard her crying and it was hard for her to communicate like what exactly was happening. So she's just pointing at the iReady. And for me as her mom, I'm like, I just want to close it all because this is messed up. Like, why are we doing this? Why are we testing kids in second grade with like middle school math just to see if they can? Like, that's stressful for anyone. But anyway, you know, I can see you need something a little bit more than me right now. In this moment, I can just give you the validation and I can just remind you to you know, how to calm down your body with the breathing. However, and I always ask, because sometimes, yes, I can give you a hug if she wants a hug. But a lot of times when she's in that kind of mood, she don't want me to touch her. Don't blame her. So that doesn't make her feel safer. That more so she just like, leave me alone. Like, I'm not well right now. So I just validate and remind her that she's safe, right? The processing couldn't happen with me. The processing had to happen with somebody who can validate it from lived experience and someone who was different. So I gave her the privacy to be able to have that conversation, and it was really helpful and it's been helping ever since. So it's really hard when things are not going the way that we intended them to be, right? And it's really hard when they're outside of our control. And that is from kids to grownups, right? It's the same process, because our brain has to play catch up. You know, the neurobiology behind of it, it's that your brain cannot rationalize and make decisions without you being physically safe and emotionally regulated, because it's going to be in that trauma response. It's going to be in that fight or flight mentality, right? That is where it's going to be living in that moment. But it takes a combination It's not just I'm in a trauma response, fight, flight, whatever. It's also like scientifically, my brain can't do this thing. So it does go hand in hand. So being able to practice grounding techniques, soft meditations, you know, going for walks, all the, you know, light exercise, whatever it is, movement, relationship, being with someone, chocolate, things that just can bring you joy bit by bit, and making it a consistent part of your daily routine. So it starts to be more normalized, so that when you start to recognize that I'm having a moment right now, like I am feeling triggered by my patients, or I'm feeling frustrated with school, or I'm feeling overwhelmed because of work, whatever it is, your body's going to send you a warning sign, and you already have a natural habit of checking in with yourself for some daily self-care, however that may look, right? And so sometimes it helps to kind of create a buddy system. You know, for me, like my prayer time is really when I'm showering. My shower is like holy grounds for me. That's kind of where everything comes out. And moms, for the most part, you know, y'all know what that's about. It's just like the only place I get privacy. And so that has kind of been the space where I process whatever I need to process, however I need to process it, right? And so pairing that up, if you want to start implementing some deep breaths and saying, okay, every morning before I brush my teeth, I'm going to say something, or maybe after. Maybe after. I don't know, you want to be inhaling and exhaling before you brush your teeth. That's on you. But you know, maybe after you say you, and in the mint is going to be, you know, more soothing in that sense. I don't know, but that's kind of what I'm referring to, is just like being able to pair it up and going outside. I'm gonna go outside with my when I take out my dogs. I'm gonna go outside. And I'm gonna be intentional, and while I'm out there, and I'm going to notice 5 different sounds. And again, it's just to not make it another thing to do, but just something that you can follow through and show up for yourself, which I find is like the hardest part. We can show up for everybody else, but it's really hard to show up for ourselves. So I hope that this was helpful. I'm super grateful for the positive response and feedback that I've been getting on the first episode. And again, this is going to be unedited, y'all. I kind of come in with a little bit of an outline, and maybe I get derailed, but you know what? I mean, it's in the title. So if you clicked it, then you accepted it. All right, you guys, I hope you enjoyed, and give total props to Evelyn for joining. I'm super proud of her, and I'll catch you guys in the next one. Thanks for tuning in to the Purposely Derailed podcast. For more information about me or about my books, Ollie the Calming Elf and Ellie the Meditation Elf, please visit my website at www.beneaththehealing.com. And remember, go out and live the best life that you can, as it is in His will.